Greetings. Welcome to another edition of Voice for the Mountains, a program dedicated to ending the environmentally destructive practice of mountaintop removal mining. Even as I speak, this form of coal mining is currently destroying our beautiful Appalachian mountains, one by one, permit by permit. If you are a newcomer to the issue of mountaintop removal, or MTR, as it is commonly referred to, please visit the websites ilovemountains.org and appalachianvoices.org for more information. Voice for the Mountains is an independent program which presents a summary of the best media pieces on the subject of mountaintop removal mining. I am your host, Barbara Strangfeld, and am solely responsible for the editorial comments on this broadcast. The podcast is produced and directed by Joseph Puentes and can be found at h2opodcast.com/mountains.html. The beautiful acoustic music you hear is entitled Mountaineer Creek and is provided by Chris Proctor. Please visit Chris at www.chrisproctor.com. And now, on to our program. Hi, we're here for another edition of Voice for the Mountains. We've got a lot of interesting media pieces for you this evening. And I want to start by first looking at some of the news that's happening. And because of the West Virginia primary, there was a lot of attention paid to that state, to coal, and to the process of mountaintop removal mining. And the first piece I'd like to read from is written by David A. Farenthold of the Washington Post. And besides being published in the Washington Post, this was actually published in the Boston Globe. So you can read about it at either paper on the net. I'll excerpt some of the article so you can get a flavor for it. West Virginia town copes with mountaintop mining. And this is a place where moving mountains is no longer a figure of speech. This is Mud, West Virginia. Here, among the steep green Appalachians, mining companies are moving mountaintops off their pedestals to get the kind of coal that Washington needs. It happened here on a ridgeline called Sugar Tree Mountain, where locals once hunted for squirrels and puckery sour grapes. Then the top was scraped off to expose the black seams in its innards, leaving a rock-strewn plateau. It used to be West Virginia, said Vivian Stockman, an environmental activist, and now it's Mars. Though this isolated mine is more than 400 miles from Washington, the two places share a powerful connection, coal. The D.C. region, with its need for electricity skyrocketing, has been steadily burning more coal, buying almost a third of its supply from this part of Appalachia. And that, analysts and environmentalists said, means that Washington's air conditioners and iPods have helped drive the region's mountaintop mining. The coal industry and the Bush administration say the benefits of these mines, measured in jobs and energy, outweigh the damage. But in West Virginia, where mining opponents can face back roads intimidation, some neighbors say that Washington area residents might not know the true cost of their power. We have to go through a lot for them to get their electric, said Lucille Miller, who picked the grapes on the Vanish Mountains. The links that bind the suburbs of Washington to the mines of West Virginia can be traced through federal energy records. The Washington Post analyzed almost 4 years of data, showing where the six coal-fired power plants across the region bought their supply. The records make one thing clear. The plants have been buying a lot more coal. Total purchases were more than 40% higher in 2006 than in 2004. The increase came as the Washington region's demand for electricity grew 18% since 2001, driven by population growth and an increasingly wired culture. D.C. plants do not send their electricity straight to local homes, but feed it to the regional power grid. Records also show that about 32% of the coal the plants bought came from one kind of mine in this corner of Appalachia, a surface operation where miners do not have to tunnel. The region where southern West Virginia meets Virginia and Kentucky is home to the vast majority of mountaintop mines in the United States. Well, this is an excellent article that highlights exactly how mountaintop removal mining is connected to the electricity that the average person uses. And I highly recommend that you take a look at the entire article. It's excellent. By the way, if you're new to mountaintop removal mining, this issue, I highly suggest that you look at the websites ilovemountains.org and appalachianvoices.org to get a real understanding of the issue. In the meantime, we're going to go on with some other news stories. The next article that I want to read for you talks about the selenium from mountaintop removal mining and its effect on fish. This was published in the West Virginia Highlands Voice, and you can read it in its entirety at wvhighlands.org. It's an excellent article. It was written by Ken Moore Jr. And again, I highly recommend that you read it in its entirety. But it highlights some of the destruction that we don't even think about that's done by mountaintop removal mining. So I'll read just an excerpt from this excellent article. Selenium pollution from one of West Virginia's largest mountaintop removal mines is dangerously poisoning Mud River fish, leaving some with serious deformities, according to one of the nation's leading experts on the issue. Fish samples showed some specimens with two eyes on one side of the head and others with curved spines, according to a report filed in federal court by fisheries biologist A. Dennis Lemley. Lemley blamed high concentrations of selenium in discharges from the Hobet 21 mountaintop removal complex upstream from the Mud and from the Mud River Reservoir. The Mud River ecosystem is on the brink of a major toxic event, Lemley said in a report filed April 18th in United States District Court in Huntington. If waterborne selenium concentrations are not reduced, reproductive toxicity will spiral out of control and fish populations will collapse, Lemley wrote in his 29-page report. Lemley prepared his report for environmental group lawyers who filed a federal court case to try to force Hobet 21 operator Hobet Mining Incorporated to stop violations of its selenium discharge limits. The court action is the latest effort by the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition and the West Virginia Highlands Conservancy to try to crack down on coal industry selenium pollution. Selenium, a naturally occurring element found in many rocks and soils, is an antioxidant that is needed in very small amounts for good health. But in slightly larger amounts, selenium can be highly toxic. In humans, it can cause hair loss, nail brittleness, and neurological problems such as numbness. In aquatic life, very small amounts of selenium have been found to cause reproductive problems. In 2003, a broad federal government study of mountaintop removal coal mining found repeated violations of water quality limits for selenium in water downstream from mining operations. The following year, a report from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service found troubling levels of selenium in fish downstream from large surface mines. Coal industry lobbyists tried so far unsuccessfully to persuade lawmakers in the Department of Environmental Protection to relax West Virginia's water quality rules for selenium. This is a very, very disturbing article. Lemley goes on to say the warning signs are evident. If a catastrophic event is to be avoided, now is the time to take actions. Well, I highly recommend that you read this entire excellent article and take the time to write your state and local representatives about doing something about this very dangerous practice of mountaintop removal mining. The selenium that it puts in our water supply is just one of the awful effects. Here's some encouraging news from reported this past Sunday, May 18th, in the Charleston Daily Mail. And it says that three companies agreed to limit mountaintop mining in West Virginia. And it's an article by the Associated Press. And it says three coal companies have agreed to temporarily limit operations at three mountaintop removal mines opposed by environmentalists. Led by the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition, environmentalists had sought a court order shutting down the mines. A settlement reached Wednesday allows limited mining at all three. The agreements say subsidiaries of Massey Energy and Console Energy can use one valley fill at two surface mines. Mine operator Tyler Morgan struck a similar deal for the third mine. The three mines had received Clean Water Act permits from the Army Corps of Engineers, but environmentalists argue that more extensive environmental reviews of the operations were needed. Well, congratulations to the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition for at least getting an agreement to limit the mining. It's one tiny step in the right direction, and we commend you for your efforts. If you have listened to any of the previous podcasts of Voice for the Mountains, you know that I'm always encouraging others to become a voice for the mountains. So the rest of this broadcast is going to highlight some reports of people who are doing just that. There is a lot of voices for the mountains, and it's increasing all the time. The issue of mountaintop mining removal and its destructive effects on the environment are becoming more widely known, and I'm encouraged as more and more voices are speaking out. So I'd like to start by reporting something that was reported on the Environment News Service. Again, you can read this entire article at www.ens-newswire.com. It's an excellent news service, and take a look at some of the other articles while you're there. But I'd like to focus on this particular one, which is a mile-long petition opposes Dominion Coal Plant in Virginia. And it is from Richmond, Virginia. And it says, Dominion Power proposes building a coal-fired power plant in Wise County, Virginia, but many Virginians oppose the facility because of the climate-warming greenhouse gas it would produce. So many Virginians want to block the power plant that their 42,400 signature fill rolls of paper a mile long displayed Thursday by the Wise Energy for Virginia Coalition at a noon rally in Richmond. The article was written on May 9th. The event in Kanawha Plaza drew more than 100 people who were given green bandanas to wear in a show of unity. The organizers draped the petition around the park. The 53 rolls, each 100 feet long, cover the 5,280 feet in 1 mile. After a brief press conference, members of the coalition gathered up the petition and presented it to a Dominion representative. Today, the mile-long petition will be presented to company executives at Dominion's annual shareholder meeting in Chicago. Of the $1.8 million cost to build this coal plant, not one penny will do anything to reduce the 5.4 million tons of global warming pollution it would emit every year. And Dominion shareholders and customers will be left holding the bag, said Cal Yaffe, staff attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center. The plant would also emit high levels of mercury, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxides, and particle dust, the critics say. They are also concerned that the increased demand for coal to burn in the Dominion plant will increase the destructive practice of mountaintop removal coal mining in Wise County and elsewhere in Southwest Virginia. They are urging the company to drop the project and instead invest in energy efficiency and other clean sources of power. Dominion spends millions and millions of dollars on political contributions, lobbyists, PR, and on misleading advertisements in an effort to convince the public that they are good stewards of Virginia's air, soil, and water, said Steve Kallos, Virginia Director of Chesapeake Climate Action Network, Let's get Dominion to spend much less money on their lobbying and advertising campaigns on more on conservation and clean energy. Good words from Steve Kalos, who is the director again of the Chesapeake Climate Action Network. This was some good work by some good voices for the mountains. We commend them. And again, I recommend the Environment News Service to keep updated with a lot of environmental issues. Okay, we have focused on some of the efforts by Voices for the Mountains, and here's another one that was reported on CNNmoney.com. We're really going national here. And this happened at the Duke Energy shareholder meeting. Duke Energy Corp chief executive got an earful Thursday at the company's annual meeting as shareholders sounded off about the utility's decision to build a new coal-fired generator in western North Carolina. Jim Rogers answered questions for nearly 90 minutes and acknowledged afterward that he knew going in that the expansion of Duke's Cliffside Steam Station would be a topic of discussion. I thought it was very important for me to address the issue up front, Rogers told reporters. And secondly, it was important for me to listen carefully, thoughtfully, and to digest what was on their mind. Duke Energy is building an 800-megawatt generator at Cliffside, about 50 miles west of Charlotte. The company plans to close four older generators when the project is complete in 2012. Several environmental groups have asked a judge to halt the $2.4 billion project, arguing the state air quality permit for the project violates federal law. Before Thursday's meeting, shareholders were greeted by nearly two dozen environmental activists protesting Cliffside and what they said is Duke's role in contributing to global warming and air pollution, as well as the practice of mountaintop removal coal mining. Inside, Rogers said he struggled with a decision to build the new unit. Well, again, I congratulate these folks for speaking up for the mountains and for taking their actions really out to where it matters, to those shareholder meetings, and getting the executives of the energy companies to listen to them. This is what it's going to take. This kind of dialogue is an excellent way to promote the end of mountaintop removal mining. It may take a few years, but that's what it's going to take, is people doing this kind of activism and thoughtfully speaking their mind. And again, I would even commend Duke's executive for taking the time to at least listen. We hope that they respond in a positive way. All right, our next person who's speaking out for the mountains is the singer Kathy Mattea. She's one of my favorite singers. I have just about all of her albums and CDs and tapes, and I've collected them over the years, and I just love her music. And she has released an album about the coal mines of Appalachia to raise awareness about the mining industry, mountaintop removal, and coal's impact on the environment. And so what I would urge you to do, if you cannot find her coal CD in your store, is to go to her website, www.mattea.com. And I urge you to go there anyway and visit it, because there's some excellent information about the CD and about coal. You'll really enjoy it, and the music is just beautiful. So, Kathy, thank you for speaking up and speaking out. And Kathy Mattea, as I just spoke about, was highlighted on the Bob Edwards radio show. And you can find that show at BobEdwardsRadio.com. And he has done, in addition to highlighting Kathy Mattea's work, he's done himself an award-winning documentary about mountaintop removal. I would commend Bob Edwards for being a voice for the mountains, and I would urge you to visit, again, BobEdwardsRadio.com and listen to his award-winning documentary program about mountaintop removal. Our next voices for the mountains are found on one of my favorite websites, ilovemountains.org. And if you have not heard of Maria Gunno, you haven't been in the mountaintop removal issue for a very long, because she is at the forefront of activists who are leading the fight to end mountaintop removal mining. she has just done so much for this issue. And Maria Gunno of the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition and Becky Tarbottom also has been very active in this issue, took the time to go to Citi's annual shareholder meeting at Citibank and actually asked their CEO if he would be willing to take a flying tour of mountaintop removal coal mining sites in central Appalachia. And Citi's bank's chairman of the board, Sir Win Bischoff, actually said he would. Isn't that amazing? What an accomplishment to these two women who took it upon themselves to visit a shareholder meeting and ask for some action and got a yes. Now, you can read Becky Tarbottom's blog of this whole experience if you visit ilovemountains.org. It's an excellent article, and it's very exciting to read about accomplishments like this. We commend both of you for your outstanding work. You have done so much to help the mountains. You are two of the strongest voices there are. Our next voice for the mountain that I'd like to congratulate for outstanding work is the singer Emmylou Harris. And not only for her work for the mountains, I'd also like to congratulate her because she was recently inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. Again, she is another one of my favorite singers. I have just about all of her CDs and albums and tapes over the past many years, and I love them all. But I also, she holds a special place in my heart because she has hosted a special event in Nashville, Tennessee last month in support of the Natural Resources Defense Council's efforts to educate that city's creative community about alternative energy sources to end mountaintop coal mining. And I think that that's just such a special thing to do, to take the time to do this. And the event featured a keynote address by Robert Kennedy Jr., who heads the Waterkeeper Alliance, and it was sponsored by the Gibson Foundation, the philanthropic division of Gibson Guitar. So we commend Gibson Guitar for doing this work, too. What an outstanding event, and they were joined by Emmylou's manager, Ken Levitin, and Warner executives John Esposito and Bill Bennett in organizing the event to bring awareness to the substantial environmental impact of mountaintop coal-derived energy, of which Nashville is the sixth largest consumer. We look forward to working with Emmylou Harris and the Gibson Foundation to raise awareness and to put an end to this devastating practice, said the Natural Resources Defense Council's president, Francis Beneke. One of the most important investments our country can make today is to purchase clean, renewable energy. And you can find more out about this on Gibson.com. or nrdc.org, and this was reported on nonsuchradio.com in their journal. So again, that's another site I urge you to visit. So congratulations, Emmylou, and thank you again. Our next voice for the mountain is News Channel 5 in Nashville, Tennessee. And they did some special investigative reporting to investigate a coal company's environmental record. And they reported that it's a controversial and destructive way to mine coal. You can find this entire story on their newschannel5.com website. And on Wednesday night, and this was posted on May 1st, News Channel 5 investigates showed where mountaintop mining is taking place in Tennessee. Investigative reporter Ben Hall also examined the environmental record of the largest coal mining company in the state. National Coal has been fined by the state and ordered to suspend mining, but it's fighting to dramatically increase mountaintop mining in Tennessee. The controversial way to mine uses high-powered explosives. Crews blast into a mountain and get out the coal. From Sky 5, the News Channel 5 Investigates team recorded footage from the state's largest mountaintop mine at Zeb Mountain in Campbell County. You do disturb the ground, there's no question about that, but then we take it back to what we believe is at least an equal or better state than it was before, said Charles Kite, vice president of the National Coal Corps. National Coal, the state's largest coal company, mines Zeb Mountain. The company plans to mine in a state wildlife area. News Channel 5 Investigates took a look at its record. In January 2005, state inspectors took pictures at said mountain showing a usually clear creek turn a turbid color caused by overflow from mountaintop mining basins. Other pictures show a 3-acre landslide on a haul road which inspectors said polluted a nearby stream. In September 2006, the state issued a stop work order on the mountain after inspectors determined the company had mined through two creeks which violated their permit. This is some great work by Ben Hall and the other reporters of the NC5 Investigates team. We commend them for being voices for the mountain and encourage them to keep up the investigation. Well, even some poets are being voices for the mountains. And in the Southwest Virginia Today website, which you can visit at swvatoday.com, they reported, Wanda Coombs, who writes for the Floyd Press, reported that writers swap poetry at a country store, and one of them, Jim Webb, actually has written a poem about mountaintop removal mining. Jim Webb and seven other members of the Southern Appalachian Writers Cooperative were at the Floyd Country Store for a round-robin poetry swap with members of the Floyd Writers Circle. And Jim Webb, wearing a bright pistachio green shirt with one of his poems printed on it, read an impassioned poem decrying mountaintop removal. Mr. Webb lives on the second highest mountain peak in Kentucky, second in height only to another peak that he can see from his home, which is being strip mined. He explained it's as close to heaven as you can get. Webb told the group that until they stop mountaintop removal, I'm going to read this poem at every reading. Well, Mr. Webb, we thank you for writing that poem and for reading it every chance that you get. You can learn more about the Southern Appalachian Writers Cooperative on their website, which is www.sawc.us. Next, I'd like to talk a little bit about a movie that was made by Mike O'Connell, and it's called Mountaintop Removal. He also is a voice for the mountains. And the film focuses on the efforts of Ed Wiley, another voice for the mountains. He's one of the leading activists behind a grassroots effort to stop mountaintop removal in West Virginia. Ed Wiley's granddaughter goes to a school in Coal River Valley, less than a quarter mile from billions of gallons of coal mine toxic sludge. In 2006, Ed staged a 40-day walk across West Virginia to demand funding for a new school. He continues his campaign today. And so we commend the work of Ed Wiley and Mike O'Connell for his documentary, Mountaintop Removal. And you can learn more about this by visiting the website IndyBay, that's IndyBay.org. That comes out of San Francisco, so you can see how websites and places all over this country are waking up to the issue of mountaintop removal mining and featuring stories on this. So we commend again IndyBay for looking at this issue. Our next voice for the mountain is Summer Brooks, and Summer Brooks has a website called HistoryType.com, and on it she writes about the battles of Blair Mountain, and Blair Mountain is located in West Virginia, and she's written an excellent story, and again, it's called The Battles of Blair Mountain. It talks about the early mining fights that some of the mine workers had. It's just an excellent article, and I really would ask that you visit the website and read it in its entirety. The website is HistoryType.com, and I'd just like to read a little portion of the part that talks about the new battle at Blair Mountain, which focuses on mountaintop removal mining. In 1993, Summer Brooks writes, Arch Coal began buying up the land around Blair Mountain, clearing it of people and trees in preparation for a devastating surface mining practice called mountaintop removal. The people that remain are fighting with lawyers instead of guns, but coal companies still have the full support of state and federal government. The one federal judge who has dared to rule against mountaintop removal is being directly challenged by the White House, and the practice continues. The land around Blair Mountain is right now being transformed from mountain range to moonscape, and the people who live there are losing their homes, their health, and their history, our history. It is difficult to have hope when justice loses again and again. It is difficult to believe that the American spirit I learned as a child to admire could possibly endure, but it does endure. I know it does because something in me burns to find that hollow tree that may yet stand on Blair Mountain and continue the fight. Well, Summer, we commend you for writing about this, for educating people about this issue, and for continuing the fight on Blair Mountain. Our last, but by no means the least of our voices for the mountains, is a wonderful movie that won an award, and I've talked a little bit about it before, but it's an excellent documentary. It's called Burning the Future, Coal in America. And for coal companies, mountaintop removal mining represents a cost-effective, efficient system of extracting coal. Explosives blast away the rocky top of deforested mountains, and machines scoop out the coal. For government, it's providing a domestic source of energy for a country where more than half the electricity produced comes from coal. But for a group of residents living in the coal fields of southern West Virginia, it's meant brown tap water, health problems, flying rocks containing sulfur, increased flooding, and the destruction of the natural resources that help sustain them. Documentary filmmaker David Novak ably highlights the plights of these often overlooked communities by following a grassroots effort to halt mountaintop removal led by unlikely activists. In many regards, we treat Appalachia as a third world country where the nation goes in, extracts their resources, and really leaves very little money behind, Novak says. Now, this award-winning movie is being shown throughout the month of May on Sundance Channel. So if you get that channel on your TV through cable, be sure to look for it and try to watch it. Otherwise, and maybe in addition to that, I urge you to go to the website called Burning the Future. And that's where you can find this DVD. It's going to go on sale soon. You get $1 off if you order it now, if you pre-order the DVD. So I highly recommend this excellent documentary by David Novak. It's recommended by the Sierra Club, by the Rainforest Action Network, and again, it was an award-winning documentary. So we commend David Novak for this excellent, excellent piece on mountaintop removal mining, and encourage you all to get a copy of his DVD. Now, if you would like to be a voice for the mountain, I'm going to finish tonight's episode of Voice for the Mountain with just an announcement that was reported in the Kingsport Times News in Tennessee, and that's about the Mountain Justice Summer Training Camp. Those interested in learning more about the coal practice of mountaintop removal, a form of strip mining, can get some hands-on information on it and other environmental issues at the Mountain Justice Summer Training Camp this summer. The fourth annual summer training camp is taking place in May at Camp Blanton in Harlan County, Kentucky. So if you'd like to find out more information about that, just go to mountainjustice.org. It's, again, another great website, and you can find out about the summer training camps and a lot of their other programs. So I encourage you, after listening to all of these inspirational stories about Voices for the Mountain, to become a voice for the mountain yourself. Speak up. Let's end mountaintop removal mining now. Thank you, and good night. Well, that ends another edition of Voice for the Mountains. If you have a comment, question, or article about mountaintop removal mining that you would like shared in a future program, just contact me, Barbara Strangfeld, at stop MTR at waterpodcast.com. That's stop MTR at waterpodcast.com. I'd like to thank Joseph Puentes for producing and directing this program, Chris Proctor for sharing his beautiful music, and all the good folks at ilovemountains.org and appalachianvoices.org. The 13th century Zen master Dogen wrote in the Mountains and Rivers Sutra, "Although mountains belong to the nation, mountains belong to the people who love them. If you love the Appalachian Mountains and want to save them from destruction, then you become a voice for the mountains too, before it's too late." Thank you.